Grace to you and peace today from heaven, from God, from Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. I'd like to start out today reading about the birth of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, beginning verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. I'd like to talk with you about Jesus' name today, Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you break that word down in the Hebrew, it actually is im with, anu, a suffix, or meaning us, and el, God. God with us. Isn't that great? This is his name. It's what he's come to be. God with us. I'd like to talk with you about this question today. How close is God? How close is he to you? Is he near or is he far? If he's near, how near is he to you? And if he's far away, how far away is he? Is God near or far? And what would it be like? Ponder this. Consider what it would be like to go through life absolutely certain that he is so near that you could feel, see, hear, and know that he is with you always and everything. How would that change life for you? Well, how close is he, this Jesus, our Emmanuel? Let's talk about that. First, I'd like to refer to a famous atheist. You might have known him. The guy's name is Richard Dawkins. He wrote that book, The God Delusion, and he says these terrible words in the book. He says, the God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully. So the guy's nuts, but at least he's in touch with his anger, okay? People like this believe God is not only far away, but he's nowhere. He doesn't even exist at all. And to this, there was a movie made, Expelled, perhaps you saw it, Ben Stein, and he actually interviewed Dawkins on this. Ben Stein believes in a creator. He believes that the world was created by God, and he interviews Dawkins in this movie, and he asks him, so where did life begin? In his very deadpan, how did it all get here? And Dawkins tries to evade the answer, and he asks him again, so where did it all come from? How did it get here if there's no God? To which Dawkins finally says, well, when you look at the world, it's obviously so intricate and so well designed that somebody must have made it. Ben Stein couldn't believe that this famous atheist was admitting this, and he said, so where did it come from? How did all things get here? And Dawkins answers, well, perhaps space aliens created the world. So the guy's nuts, okay. He's in touch with his anger, though. But some people are like this. Dawkins does not believe God exists, doesn't believe he's anywhere, and then so he lives accordingly. But God says of such people in the scriptures, Psalm 10, in the pride of his countenance, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And Paul says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, since God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse, says the Lord. But some people say God is far, far away. Other people believe that God exists, but that still he's far, far away. They'll say something like this: I believe in God, and yet they live as if he is far, far away. For if a person says, I believe in God, and cheats on his wife, abandons her, tells lies, pursues greed in business, gets drunk, he shows that by his actions that he believes God is far, far, far away, like a fairy tale, and that God will never call to account, that there's no judgment, or that he does not see. God has also a word against such persons in the scriptures in Psalm 94. It says, they slay the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord doesn't see. The God of Jacob does not perceive. Understand, O dullest of the people. Fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, thou wilt not call to account? Friends, God is close. He's close enough to see all that goes on, on the earth, even the depths of our hearts. For it's written in Proverbs 5, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. And the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So some people say he's far, far away, and in a sense, they're right. In a sense, he is far, far away. What's the scripture say? Psalm 99 says, the Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. Anybody seen a cherubim lately? No? That's because they're far, far away, and that's where God is seated, in heaven at the highest place. That's a far cry from here. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah says, in the year that Uzziah, King Uzziah, died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Friends, he lives in a very, very high place, far, far away. Had this article, NASA's Voyager 1 in cosmic purgatory on the verge of entering the Milky Way. Any of you here, NASA scientists, help with the Voyager 1? Okay, we have at least one back there. And this was launched in 1977 for over 3 decades. In fact, how many is that now? Yeah, it's been traveling. It's traveling at about 11 miles per second. It's about 11 billion miles from the sun right now, leaving our solar system, entering into cosmic space, entering into the Milky Way galaxy. And on this Voyager 1, they say there's a gold-coated copper phonograph record containing hundreds of pictures of Earth and a selection of greetings from languages around the world and various sounds from the Earth. Carl Sagan wrote an intro into a CD version saying, a billion years from now, when everything on Earth we've made is crumbled into dust, when the continents have changed beyond recognition and our species is unimaginably altered or extinct, that's false, but at any rate, the Voyager record will speak for us. To which one commentator writing on this blog says, that's great, just where are the aliens going to get a phonograph player? At a yard sale, you know? But at any rate, the point is, this thing, this vehicle, is 11 billion miles from us. And if you want to go out to the furthest reaches of what we can see, 15 billion light years away, traveling at 186,000 miles a second for 15 billion years, you get to the edge of the visible universe. And yet, what does the scripture say of God? But will God indeed dwell with man on earth? Behold, heaven and highest heaven cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built. In other words, he is far, far away. He's high, high above even 15 billion light years and beyond. Higher than we are, which gives new meaning to these words from our Lord Jesus when he was going to heaven and he said to the Jews, again he said to them, I go away and you will seek me and die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. That's a long, long way away, far, far away. Sinners can't dwell there, can't get there, and in this sense, he is far away. But the wonderful good news that we have, this wonderful word of God today, is he is near. He is very near. For it says in Psalm 138, though the Lord is high, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty he regards from afar. And it says in Psalm 113, the Lord is high above all the nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down upon the heavens and the earth? But notice how near he is. The next verse says he raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. How near is he? Is he near? He's very near. It says in the scriptures, the Lord is near to all the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The Lord is near. Near, I tell you, to you and to me this very day. Do you think he's in this room, in this sanctuary? Does God even see into the depths of your hearts at this very instant, that he is right here with you? Have you considered these words he gave to Abraham? He said in Genesis 15, fear not, Abraham, for I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. Can you hear God say that to you? Fear not, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And he said to Isaac, I am the God of your father, Abraham. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. To Jacob, he said, behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I've done that of which I've spoken to you. Moses was afraid. Are you afraid of something today? Moses was afraid of going back to Pharaoh and telling this king, though he was a nobody, let my people go. And he was afraid. But God's answer to him was, but. He says, but I will be with you. Think about that. Can you lay hold of those words today for yourself? I will be with you. Now Joshua, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Have you doubted this in your life? Look, these are the words of God to his saints. And in Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about, who we're going to talk about in a second, his promise to you is this. Lo, I'm with you. I am with you. I am with you always to the close of the age. Do you believe this? Do you know this? Do you live this? How close is he? He is so close. He is close in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to celebrate today, that God himself is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus has come to be with us. Now, I was trying to figure this out a bit. How could the God, whom 15 billion light years of space and beyond can't contain, how could he become a man? I was thinking about computers, what they can do today. 1 gigabyte of computer can take 1 million pages and put it on your computer. 1 million pages, that means most home computers have 200 gigabytes. That means you could have 200 million pages. 1 million books on your computer, 1 million, each 200 pages long. Consider how much that would fill this sanctuary, and yet we put that on a tiny computer. God, whom heaven and earth cannot contain, was reduced down, 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 into a single cell in the womb of Mary's mother for you, to be with you. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. If you believe that God became a man, say amen.
Amen.
He took on flesh in the person of Jesus, the womb in the womb of Mary, his mother. Now, just think about how big is a little tiny fertilized egg in the womb of Mary. How big was Jesus? I have here a pin. Can you even see it from there? Probably not. I have trouble seeing it from here. The head of the pin here is 2 millimeters. A baby is 1.4 millimeters, tiny little fertilized egg, still visible to the human eye without a microscope, but he's smaller than the head of this pin. God? Smaller than the head of this pin? Why? Why would he so humble himself? Because he wants to be with you. He wants to become one with you. He wants you to become one with him, at least him living in you and you living in him. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who's in the bosom of the Father. He's made him known. Anybody seen God with their own eyes? No man's ever done that. But Jesus Christ came to reveal God to us. Philip once said, Lord, to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, have I been with you so long, Philip, and yet you did not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Do you think perhaps, maybe, in your life, God is closer than you recognize? He's with you, and yet Jesus has to say, have I been with you so long, and yet you don't know me? Don't you see me? Don't you recognize me? And he came still nearer to us, even than the incarnation in the cross. Because in between man and God, there's a dividing wall of separation, sin. But God then sent Jesus, like Ronald Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, right? Jesus came to tear down the wall between you and God, to bring you even ever closer. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. Sure, there was a dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles, which is being spoken of here, but also a dividing wall between man and God, a wall of hostility because of our sins. But Jesus came to break down that wall by dying for our sins on the cross to redeem us. And he has removed the barriers between man and God. He's torn the veil in half between man and God. He's broken down that wall between man and God. And by his blood, he's made a highway between us and God. And therefore, we read in Romans 5, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how close God is to you? Even in our very bodies, if you will look at how you are being held together at this very instant, there's a thing called laminin. Have you ever heard about that? It's a protein, very important. It holds your cells and your tissues together. Guess what it looks like? It's in the perfect, absolute perfect form of a cross. It holds you together. God planned this. And Jesus said to the Jews, I go away, and you'll seek me and die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. Far, 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 far away. But then he says a few verses later, I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Near, 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 near. Can you go through your next world, your next year, absolutely, totally confident that God is with you? Have you repented of your sins? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Then he gives you a word of promise, saying, I will never leave you. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the close of the age. So you say, but I don't always feel God with me. Yeah, so what? What is emotions? What are your heart anyway? The world wants to say, follow your heart, follow your heart. That's not what God says to us. He says, follow my word. Follow my word. You might have a terrible day. You might have a great day. But my word doesn't change. My word is, I'm with you always. And he says, this next year, from this day on, bank on my word. I'll never fail you. I'll never forsake you. No man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. For as I was with Moses, as I was with Abraham, as I was with Joshua, as I was with Jesus, so I shall be with you. For I've come down for this very purpose, that I might, in the Holy Spirit, live inside of you, and you might live in me. And this promise goes even to the very last day when Jesus says, he who conquers, I'll grant with him to sit with me on my throne as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. With you today, with you forever, into the future. Such is the promise of our God. So how near is he? He's near, very, 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 very near. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.